HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 79, recorded live Wednesday, August 29th, 2007. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. And by .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine. Online at www.sys-con.com. In this episode, Scott and Carl talk about linked XML.
Hi, this is Carl Franklin, and you're listening to Hansel Minutes from HanselMinutes.com. Scott and I are here to talk about linked XML. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I am ensconced in XML. I am up to my ears in the stuff.
You always have been.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you don't really learn stuff until you really, really sit down and try to apply something significant to it. And one of the things that you can trouble with now that I'm expecting I'm going to get in trouble with the blogging, and a couple of people have mentioned it. They said, well, you're going to go to work for Microsoft now, but the thing that made your blog really interesting was that you were doing, you know, real work with these technologies. So the things that I would bump into were kind of corner cases of real life.
Right.
If you get into the whole kind of like, let's write books and give talks and blog, you know, what software are you really, you know, trying to create? So I'm trying to build some stuff, and I'm using linked XML, and I'm, you know, figuring out, because I was a big XML guy before. When I say big XML guy, I mean a big system.xml guy. I love XML Reader, XML Writer, huge right. XML Serializer guy. When people were dogging the XML Serializer, I was doing all sorts of crazy stuff with it. So, I mean, I'm a huge fan of that. So when I started playing with linked to XML, I was kind of trying to get my mind around it, and I'm realizing that it's really two things. There's the new classes. There's a whole series of new classes, right? So there's a new namespace, system.xml.link. Mm-hmm. And there's some new classes like xDocument, xElement, xAttribute. And those things are really separate. A whole separate XML API has been imagined, completely right. Separate from link. This has nothing to do with link, though, right? Because link is about a syntax and some APIs and about compiler support. But what I'm trying to say is that even if link didn't exist,
yeah,
xDocument, xElement, xAttribute, those things and that new model would be still very interesting.
Yeah, still much better than XPath.
Yeah, it's very interesting, though. The concepts are there, but remember, one of the things that was wrong with XPath is that you would tunnel another programming language in a string, right? So you'd say, like, right. Select nodes, quote, and then you'd put some magic XPath goo in there. And that was a little tiny program, you know, within a string. And there was this notion of an axis in XPath. So when you do a select and you're moving around the document, mm-hmm. either like via descendants or via siblings. So there's this kind of direction. You have to have the sense of where I'm moving in what direction on the tree. That exists in the context of an X document and X elements via different methods like descendants and elements. So you can say, give me all of the descendants of this particular X element.
Yeah.
So you can get XPath-like experiences, but it's very strongly typed. Now, with VB9, you also get the ability to use like the imports method, the imports declaration, which we ordinarily use to import CLR namespaces. You can actually use that to import XML namespaces. And that has got me really thinking about VB again, because, you know, I've given you a hard time about VB for
years.
Well,
you don't have to give me a hard time. You give VB a hard time, I think.
Well, yeah, I give VB people a hard time, because I was a big VB guy. I was living the life, you know, VB3 up to VB6. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of switched over, and the next thing you know, I was doing semicolons.
Right.
And I just kind of thought to myself, you know, VB, so what? You know, what's the point? What is this silly language for? And they really just went running down the street screaming and added all sorts of crazy stuff to VB while C# is staying kind of very, I'm trying to use words that are not going to get me.
I would say classic, you know, C#
well, I was going to say formal.
Formal, uncluttered, maybe?
Yeah. Non-controversial.
Yeah, non-controversial. That's a good one. Conservative, maybe conservative.
That's the thing. I'm trying to think of words that would get us not a lot of mail. But yeah, I mean, trying very carefully to pick the right words just yeah. to describe it. It is trying to be multi-purpose and classic and a standard and a formal, thoughtful way of doing things. While VB, I'm getting the impression, and this is just, we're talking about impressions and opinions here, is surprisingly unafraid to do some pretty crazy stuff and to make a formal declaration that I want XML, you know, baked really, really, really tightly into the language, I think is pretty cool. Now, it does tighten the noose a little bit in the sense that we are really tied to the base class library. But mm-hmm. as with all computer languages, it's not like it's easy to keep track of what's syntax and what's underlying library. I mean, just like in C#, the using statement caused a lot of controversy because it's really just a bit of syntactic sugar on top of try finally.
Right.
This imports and the XML literals, the ability to go and say, you know, foo equals and then just start typing XML, having that be a syntactic sugar on top of link, or excuse me, on top of specifically system.xml.link and the X document and X element stuff is really tying you to the platform, but it's not like we weren't already tied to the platform before. So I don't know. It's kind of a chicken and the egg problem. But what I will say is that writing it is just so pleasant. I mean, I really could see myself writing some VB libraries if I really needed to do some serious XML inside them.
So as you know, I was recently exposed to this by Don XML on DNR TV. And one of the things, and if you haven't seen those episodes and you haven't seen Link to XML, check it out, dnrtv.com. One of the things that I really like is the way they contrast the XML. They sort of fade it out so it doesn't, you know, so there's a little bit of contrast visually between the XML that's literally in your VB app and the rest of your code.
Yeah, you know, that's funny. That's a small kind of aesthetic detail, but you're making a very good point because you would think that all the angle brackets and elements would make a very funny looking syntax highlighted experience, but they're very clear on the colors that they chose or the default colors. And it doesn't look like an embedded string, and it's very clear where the XML starts and where your code begins. And it is really a very nice experience.
Don said something when we first learned about XML literals in VB, in that he thought it was a bad idea because people are going to write code that now looks like classic ASP, you know, the classic spaghetti code, the angle brackets yeah. interspersed with, you know. And he told me on the show that he had such a change of heart after he got to play with it because, you know, it's not like that at all. I mean, yes, you can express XML and you can plug data into that XML like in a loop. Mm-hmm. So you can go into a loop and output this literal XML string and then plug the angle bracket percent equals, you know, just like you do in ASP.
Right.
But it doesn't really go the other way. You know, it's not like it's not like that. It's not like classic ASP.
No, it's not. I mean, and with any tool, one can hurt themselves. I mean, clearly. But one of the things that's really nice about this is that it, for me, as someone who has spent many years trying to coerce objects into angle brackets, it makes getting an object into an angle bracket format, especially when that format doesn't necessarily look exactly like the object. I mean, certainly XML Serializer has some ability to massage things via attributes and make the XML look the way you want. But there's always been this kind of gap. You either serialize it as XML, or you suddenly jump off and you're into XML writer world and you're creating some pretty complicated and pretty deep code just to get some angle brackets out. And it really lets you understand why a lot of people would spend time doing what was considered evil, which is building XML with string builders.
Right.
So it basically gives you the ease of string builder style XML building with the formalization, the kind of IntelliSense, and then you don't get a string, you get an X element when it pops out.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that I've been exploring, because I don't want to do just another show on like, hey, Link is great. Yay, Link. I wanted to get a little bit deeper is there are a lot of extension methods, you know, about extension methods, right?
Well, tell us.
So extension methods are the ability to, and I've used the term spot welding in the past to refer to it in the context of Ruby, where you can say, you know, hey, Carl has a, let's say Carl has a person class and it's got first name and last name, but I really want it to have, I don't know, surname. I could extend it via derivation in a kind of a classic OO way. I could make my own class and wrap yours via kind of composition, or I could use an extension method and basically say, whenever you see a person, I want it to have this function also, this method also, and basically kind of just Velcro it to the side of the object. And
right.
Initially it sounds very kind of unnerving. You could think of all the damage that could potentially be done, but within the context of what Microsoft has done, where they've taken a new library, system.xml.link, and a whole bunch of new classes, and they wanted to make a relationship, a bridge between that and system.xml. You know, how do you make that kind of strange relationship? Is there derivation? Is there composition? Are there just a bunch of utility classes? Where do you put those utility classes? I mean, do you make system.xml.link.bridge and then make a bunch of util type stuff? With extension methods, when you've got some XML for link objects, like if you've got an X element or you've got an X document kind of lying around, you can add a using statement, or in VB's case, an import statement, and bring in something like system.xml.xpath. And it suddenly extends your existing link to XML objects with new stuff. So, for example, you've got like an X document, and you bring in the XPath namespace, and by bringing that namespace into scope, you've suddenly added new methods on these documents. So, for example, the X document then suddenly gets an XPath select elements method. The method isn't there. It's not on the X document. It's actually an extension method that was put in the other library. So this is a way that the other library can influence the future. This is the way we can have XPath, actual XPath, in our X documents. And this is used kind of consistently throughout the namespaces. That's in a really interesting way. So for example, if you wanted to, like one of the things I wanted to do was serialize an object in the middle of making a bunch of X elements. I posted about this in my blog the XML topic, right? So I'm making a bunch of X elements. I'm doing kind of this tree building, but I've got this object that already serializes just fine, and I want to go and serialize it. So I talked to the XML team. They've got a great blog on MSDN. It's called XML Team. And using the XML serializer, I want to serialize an object, but I want to add it into a tree of X elements that I'm already doing.
Right.
Well, turns out that if you do a create writer on an X document, you can get out an XML writer. So you can actually ask a new style X document for an XML writer. And here's the cool part. Anything you write to it is actually going to turn into X elements and X documents. It's going to turn into this new format as soon as you close the writer. So they've basically got an implementation of an XML writer, and you're just writing to it the way you've always written to an XML writer, except it's going to be creating X elements in the back. So then, an XML serializer just takes a writer, right? You can just write directly to it. So what we did is we just made a serialize as X element extension method. So rather than having a utility class floating out there in the ether, we just extended XML serializer. So I just said static class, XML serializer extension, and then I made this new serialize as X element. And then in the middle of my building of my tree, I can just go and say, oh yeah, and go ahead and serialize this object. And this provides a lot of code reuse because you might be doing new work in Link, but you've got existing work that is using XML serializers. You've got existing code that works just fine. Rather than re-implementing that, you can bridge it. And I must say that the bridging, I've been really impressed. It's really, really clever and really clean.
Nice.
Being able to call XPath on X documents, being able to serialize objects, use writers. It feels like an evolution, kind of an extension of system.xml, but it doesn't feel like I have to go and relearn everything. Because if you already know about readers and writers, these things are still there. And the bridge methods are all brought in just by including that namespace.
Yeah, that's excellent. Very powerful.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm going to be interested to see what the future is going to bring around extension methods about, because, you know, we talked about Ruby a little bit a while back. And one of the examples that came up was when someone in Ruby types 20.minutes.ago.
Right.
And then that comes up with, like, you know, a date time for 20 minutes ago. And the example is always made that, we can do that in C#. And then someone goes and writes a pretty complicated extension library extends int. And then you can have 20.minutes.ago, and you get a similar experience. But it's not Ruby, actually, that made that happen. It's that Ruby core libs that are added on. It's some of the Rails stuff. So it's not the guy that invented Ruby who decided that 20.minutes.ago is supposed to look like that. It was Hanemeyer Hansen. It was DHH, the guy that made Rails.
Yeah.
But the aesthetic, right, the decision as a community that we find this to be attractive and useful was really what drove that. So I feel like extension methods are kind of taking a little bit of the responsibility for the syntax and the future of C# and VB out of Anders' hands, right, out of Anders Heilsberg's hands, and kind of into the hands of the community. Because if we as a collective decide that we feel that a syntax should look this way, or there's some aspect of the base class library, we could create a little, you know, base class library extension to add, you know, whatever we as a community come up with. And just as the system.xml.link team works with the system.xml guys to make that bridge clean such that it's seamless. I mean, you really have no way of knowing that these are extension methods.
Right.
Unless you, go looking for it. You know, what kinds of interesting patterns could be done? And like in the past, a lot of the patterns have been very OO focused, and we read books like Design Patterns. What kinds of patterns will come out of that new way of thinking? And I'm really interested in that space, and I'd be interested in what the listeners think about that.
Very good. Well, is that a show?
Yeah, I think so. I kind of rambled a little bit at the end, but I am sincerely interested in that kind of that space, and I'd be really interested in some feedback from some of the listeners. Maybe we can do a whole show on exactly how to do extension methods, or maybe a DNR TV.
Yeah, that sounds great. All right, Scott, thank you very much, and until next time, we'll see you on Hansel Minutes.